Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with a scared Todd Adkins. What? Do you want to give context around being scared?
Sure. I just sent Daniel a picture of me under a blanket with a laptop, because I am in a detached garage, a room on my detached garage that is kind of like my only safe place to try to record, and it's all concrete floors and there's nothing on the walls, so I have to do this. I'm getting it built out where it will actually sound decent, but
yeah, I mean, it sounds kind of, I mean, it's a lot. We've tried to record when you've been in there, and it's, I mean, this is a million times better. So,
For those listening, I know many of you are on a budget, and I'm just saying that you can buy on Amazon, you can get a dozen 32-ounce moving blankets for like $60. And so that is how I will be soundproofing this. For those of you who
you're talking about like the ones that come in the U-Haul trucks?
Yeah. That is a poor man's soundproofing. So if you hang it about 3 to 6 inches off the wall, it allows, it'll trap the sound pretty good, and drape it a little bit. It sounds really weird, but you don't want it like right against the wall, all neat and clean. You want it off the wall a little bit and a little droopy at the top, so it'll soak things up. Traps the sound back there. It's good stuff. So we are that posh, okay, people. Okay. We are that posh.
Only the best for the New Churches podcast. No. Okay, so the reason we are, actually not the reason we're talking about this, what we're supposed to be talking about are systems. We're going to be continuing our series on systems for a post-COVID church. And this is not systems in and around podcasting and all that, although that would be an interesting episode to do, to actually do it around, hey, what kind of systems do you need to be able to scale out Ministry Grid and to do a podcast and to do filming on your phone and to do all that stuff? Right. So maybe for another episode, but today what we wanted to talk about was property strategy. All right, so let's talk about it first from a church planter's perspective, and then let's go to a multi-site church's perspective that might be more established and have a bit more finances, but they're thinking about multiplying campuses. So let's actually start with the church planter who is renting a theater or school or has been online for the last year and is trying to figure out where to rent right now, and they just wish that they had a building. So what advice would you give church planters to begin thinking about property?
I'm going to go completely off the rails right now and slightly, okay. I don't want to sound like I'm trying to be prophetic or anything, but I do think that we are increasingly going to see the importance of owning a piece of property or where you are, at least in the States, as the lines of church and state continue to erode. I think we're not too far away from seeing challenges come to whether or not we can use public spaces based on our beliefs. So I do see a day in the near future where in the past, listeners know, I would say, well, man, the great thing about renting a place is you're free to move on, you know, as you grow, you're not locked in, you don't have fixed costs, you don't have all these things that go into it. You can really move and be nimble. And now, I mean, you know, schools and performing arts theaters are great places for us to meet. But depending on where you live, there may be ordinances or there may be things in place that don't allow them to rent to you simply because of your beliefs. I think we're already seeing that in some places in the U.S. As I've talked to other guests on Five Leadership Questions that are out west in Portland in particular. So I feel like that might be coming, Daniel, and it's something to, at least for us to think about.
So I completely agree with you. I think going into COVID, those church planters, it was a double-edged sword, right? Those church planters who didn't have a building, all of a sudden they had no place to meet. And so on the positive, that was great for their books. On the negative, it was, what do I do now? Because some buildings don't want to run the risk of us being in their building because of COVID and all that. So it was definitely that double-edged sword going into COVID. But I do agree with you that for a church planter to have a solid property strategy and not live off of continually renting is going to be important. But I guess that, oh my goodness, we have listeners from all over the world listening to this podcast. So I'm thinking, how do you even address that in a place like New York, Vancouver, LA, Tokyo, Seoul, compared to the Midwest or Idaho, or even let's say upstate New York, where it's different than Texas, and you know, how you do this in Austin would be different than how you do this in Fort Worth and et cetera. So there's a huge spectrum of how to talk about this. But if we just think about, okay, beyond all that, if we just talk about, okay, regardless of how much you need to earn, how does a church planner even start thinking about saving money and buying property? Like, do they do it the Dave Ramsey, no debt, fully raised and then paying cash? Is it okay to go get a loan? Yeah. What are your thoughts in and around that side of it? And how much should they have in their bank before they even consider approaching a bank and doing that sort of thing?
Well, a bank is going to want to look at your books, and the longer that you have books, the better. So if you can show a track record, especially if you're going back years and you can go through different seasons of change within your economy, within your nation's economy. You know, I think about, hey, if I'm a banker, I want to see how you weathered. If it goes back to 2008, that's awesome, because I can see what were your books like in 2008. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm going to give you a loan, the bigger the loan, the higher parameters they're going to be on, you know, what are my make it or break it things, whether or not you're going to get this loan. And so that's really key. That's really crucial. We're seeing things begin to tighten back up again, at least in the States with loans. We got pretty crazy here during COVID with lots of people seeking space, seeking a bigger house or a different house, or oh, I can move, you know, out into the country now because I don't have to be downtown. There's so much transition happening. And so with the nations of the world printing money, you know, debt has become really cheap. So in some regards, there's not a better time to buy, because to service that debt is going to be pretty cheap. And they're not making any more land. You can print more money, but you can't make more land. And so, you know, there's a very high likelihood that that's going to appreciate. I've seen churches move during this time as well. Churches downsize from larger spaces to smaller spaces, or sell their property and take on a different property. So there's a lot happening right now.
That's super helpful. Hey, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and we will get right back into it. No matter how many people you have on staff at your church, there's only so much you can accomplish in a day, right? Your church exists to serve your community, so the mission of your church and its staff is to reach as many people as you can. That's why productivity is essential for churches, as most of your church's success lies in its ability to lean into and leverage resources for optimum performance. And thankfully, our friends at Belay know this well. Belay, an innovative staffing solution with over 10 years of experience serving churches, has successfully matched thousands of organizations with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. That's why they're offering our listeners a free download of their resource, Church Leaders: Essential Strategies to Unleash Productivity. Let Belay help your church live its mission in your community by helping you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, that's BELAYsolutions.com/Lifeway for your free download. Now back to the episode. Yeah, those are all good. And before we move on to the multi-site side of things, part of it is just make sure you're saving as a church planter. And depending on what your budget is and how much money comes in, make sure that you're underspending your offerings, your tithe, you know, on the ministry side of things, on staffing side of things. Try to run lean so that you are able to put money away toward buying a building. Now, we're not saying there's obviously that philosophy of, hey, how can you grow your church? And when you grow your church, do you actually add a staff member before, or do you add a staff member during or after the growth? And there's all that side, and we don't have time to get into all that, but just make sure that you're saving and you're putting money away toward one day eventually purchasing a property. Now, having said that, let's move on to the multi-site side of things. Let's say you're a multi-site church with a couple buildings and you're like, man, how do we start 3 or 4 more campuses? And, you know, we have debt that we need to pay off on one of the buildings. And I mean, would your recommendation be to pay all the debt off on your existing buildings before buying another building, and to actually use that whole agile methodology of, like, you know, start small start small and see how that campus grows, and then eventually maybe purchase property for them? Or do you do it actually the flip way, where you're like, no, we're going to launch campus, we're going to raise $250,000 to $1 million to get that campus going in a few years, for them to be sustainable in a few years, but also to buy property for them, and et cetera, et cetera? What are your thoughts in around property strategy for a multi-site church?
Again, okay, so in part it depends on how affluent the area is that you're in. I was always looking at, okay, of when it comes to multi-site, I had a basic map of where I wanted to go, and so I always had a tab on how many what assets do we have there. So how many small groups do we have there? How many leaders do we have there? Where are they serving in the church? How many staff members are there? And here's another one that's probably slightly more controversial, and that is, what's the giving like of people that live in that zip code and the surrounding zip codes? And I didn't know the individual's names or anything like that. I was basically run a report on anybody that spends a dollar or more a year, that donates a dollar or more, and give me an average of, you know, what that is. So per cap giving, mm-hmm. I'm kind of gonna know, because that's planning for the number of staff. The demographics of the area are going to tell me, you know, what kind of children's ministry I'm probably going to have if we're reaching that, you know, community. So all those things kind of went into play, and in part because I want to know how fast they're going to get to break even. I want to know if it makes good financial sense to pour money into that on a purchase or long-term lease. And I'll tell you, I don't know that I ever personally did a long-term lease. Now, the church did before I got in that position, but I was not a big fan of a long-term lease or purchase, believing that over the course of time, that congregation is going to be able to do that on its own. So they might be a part mm-hmm. of our overall church, but I want them to take on the responsibility of paying for that location. So that was my personal philosophy. I think the other thing that's coming into the mix right now, Daniel, is two things. You've got churches that are closing or on life support just because of COVID and their inability to respond. They may have reacted, but they didn't thoughtfully respond. Reacting is emotional. Responding is more thoughtful. And because of that, they're in dire straits. On the you also have pastors who are getting toward retirement age. We know how many, you know, there are many, 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 many pastors that are in their 60s, some in their 70s, who are not going to want to continue to do this, you know, moving forward. I know some of those people personally. I've had conversations with them where they're close enough to retirement and they want to lead their church through this phase and then give it away to somebody else. In some cases, they're able to raise up a person. And in a lot of cases, they're not. So they're literally either going to give it to a planter to relaunch, or they're going to give it to a church who they think will be a good steward of that from a multi-site perspective. And so you're seeing more and more conversations starting to happen again around churches, you know, coming on board with other churches. Sorry, I'm trying to avoid saying saying a particular word, and I'm
I get that. I get the sensitivity around that, and
acquisition, what's interesting, is the word I don't want to say because it sounds very business-like.
Yeah, I mean, part of it with this, and we can wrap up with this note, part of it is with multi-site churches, the tension is making sure that there's sufficient ownership for that local campus and for the campus pastor over everything. Otherwise, you end up getting that sense where it's like, oh, hey, I'm like a trust fund kid and I'm getting my first car and it's a Lamborghini because my parents are so wealthy and they're, you know what, like you want to get, and I'm not saying that that's the case, but I'm saying you want to make sure that that doesn't happen. Otherwise there's not the ownership, right? And then so when you think about campuses and your property strategy, there's definitely the wisdom to say, okay, in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, where, like, how do we make sure that we're keeping tabs on locations and other areas of the city that you may want to go in and go to plant a campus. But then there's that side of, hey, don't pay the whole thing off for the campus. Otherwise, they're not going to have any ownership in it and they're not going to appreciate that. So, well, but there is that shared ownership side of it too.
Right. And you're making a quadrant form in my head with the trust fund kid, the black sheep, the redheaded stepchild. Because all those are true. All
the multi-site models. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
When it comes to multi-site stuff. So,
yeah, that's fun. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And thank you so much for listening into this podcast. If you have other topics that you'd love for us to consider, just head on over to speakpipe.com/newchurches. And you can do that on your mobile device. Or if you're on your computer, you can just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. And we'll catch you next time.